Welcome to the Gas Street Podcast. Our vision as a church is to be light for the city.
We really hope you enjoy this message.
Just so many highlights. I mean, just to pull out a few things. Last year, we saw 218 people say yes to following Jesus. As we saw, we baptized 110 people, which is amazing. Through Love Your Neighbor, we served 65,000 meals. And through the work of Love Your Neighbor, we were able to see 211 people in debt being relieved of debt. And we have a jobs club, which has meant that 55 people over the year have been trained and equipped and resourced so that they can find employment. And then on top of that, a few weeks ago, we launched Gas Street Longbridge. And now regularly on a Sunday, 175 people are worshiping there. And people from all over the community have been coming, people who've never been to church, people who haven't been to church for years, turning up. And I love this story from someone who was sent from here to go and be a part of that location. And they say this, said, with Gas Street Longbridge launching and doing the Scatter series, the series we've been doing to mobilize us as evangelists, I wanted to invite my neighbor. I've known my neighbor for a couple of years. One morning I saw her in the laundry area and I invited her to come along. Their first response was a no. I was surprised and a little disappointed as I felt strongly that the Lord had put them on my heart. I went back home. 15 minutes later, she phoned me and said she would come. On launch Sunday, I really hoped she'd come, and she did. She loved it and said she would come again. Fast forward 3 weeks later, my friend came back to church. When there was an invitation to say yes to Jesus, she prayed the prayer and put up her hand. At the end of the gathering, she went up to a member of the team and said, "How can I get baptized?" Isn't that amazing? Across all the locations, God is moving. Faith is rising. One of the best things that's been happening has been amongst our young people. They've just headed off for group, but we're seeing God really set a fire in young people's hearts. And a few weeks ago, we had 110 young people going away for a weekend away. And I was hearing one guy called Manu, who's year seven. And he posted on his family's WhatsApp, and a number of the family, wider family, they're not Christians, but he had to tell what God was doing at the youth weekend away. And so he said this, last night, brackets, I'm at the youth weekend away, by the way, close brackets. We were singing songs and praying, and me and a friend felt the Holy Spirit through us so much that we cried with joy and happiness. It felt like the best thing ever. Another young person, Levi's year 10, he said this, I've never felt God like I did at the youth weekend away. I was completely overwhelmed by God's forgiveness and how strongly I felt his presence. Over the past few months, I brought seven of my friends from school to church, with three giving their lives to Christ for the first time and two of them recommitting. I've started a Christian union at school with my brother and we've seen new people coming all the time. And then at the 6 p.m. every week here, this place is packed with young people worshiping. It's absolutely incredible. And if you've been a part of our church for a while, you'll know that our vision is to be light for the city and beyond. We were invited by previous Bishop of Birmingham to come here to start this church with a vision for it to be a resource church. And so one of the main ways we've tried to resource Birmingham and beyond is through church planting. And so to date, we've planted five churches. One of those churches, St. Mark's Coventry, has gone on to plant another two churches. So you see this kind of multiplication domino effect. And then we've also now have four locations here, Gas Street St. Luke's, Gas Street Longbridge, Gas Street South, meets at a school in Tudor Grange. And we believe church planting in locations are an amazing way of reaching new communities and mobilizing leaders. And so we're hugely encouraged by what God is doing and see that as a key part of our vision to keep planting over years to come. But we also recognize that as a resource church, there's been a call on us to equip the wider church, the national global church. And three particular ministries we have out of this church that are doing that is firstly the Orchard, secondly Worship for Everyone, and then Gas Street Music. And so with the Orchard last October, 2,700 women gathered at the ICC for a day of training. They have podcasts, further resources, training of leaders. And what's happening with the Orchard is really pretty extraordinary, but it's so desperately needed because I believe there is a desperate need to train, equip, and release and champion women in leadership, particularly perhaps in the church. Rachel and I are doing this little podcast called At Home with the Hugheses. And we posted a video the other day, and Rachel shared a clip of, I guess, a part of leadership, of the need for self-awareness and the challenge of facing opposition. And this guy posted on social media platforms in response, "Women struggle to be leaders. That's why men are the leaders." And what I realized is helpful for me to see is that for so many women, when they step up to lead in business, in education, in creative arts, in the church, there's often abuse that comes their way, second guessing, pushing back. And we need to recognize it for what it is. It's the voice of the evil on the enemy trying to hold God's children back and trying to hold women back from being everything that they're called to be. And we wholeheartedly believe here that for women in this globe, that there is no limits to their leadership, that God wants to release fully all of us, male and female, to rise up and to be His children, to be innovators, creative leaders, pioneers. And so the Orchard is seeking to do that. And what a privilege for us as a church to play our part in encouraging that, investing in that vision. We also have Worship for Everyone. Nick and Becky Drake and the team running this ministry that is seeking to resource and encourage intergenerational worship, particularly thinking, how can we better release children, young people in worship? And they're writing these songs that are being sung in churches all over the UK and beyond. But amazingly, these songs are now being sung in schools right throughout the UK. And back in June, they gathered 400 leaders for a day of training here from over 130 different churches because, as some of you will know, there is a crisis in the church in the UK where numbers of children and young people attending church is like falling off a cliff. It is horrendous. And so what a joy to have in our church this ministry that is seeking to find ways to fuel the fire, to encourage, to release spaces in schools and in churches where young people and children feel welcomed and valued and seen, where intergenerationally we can gather together to worship and to see the power and the presence of God outworked. And what a joy for us as a church to be able to give to that. Our giving, our serving, our praying is part of a bigger picture to resource churches in the area of intergenerational worship. And then finally, through Gastric Music, we're releasing songs that are being sung all over the place. We're able to go and train and resource churches. Last year, Gastric Music went to Norway, Netherlands, Romania. We even made it to Dudley. We've peaked. But amazing to see what God is doing. And again, just to say, there's a unique call on our church in this area of worship and prayer, the presence of God. For me, understanding more and more that one of my chief calls is to be a worship leader. And for decades, I did that with a guitar slung around my shoulders. And I still hopefully will do that a little bit. But it's also now through preaching and envisioning and strategic planning. But ultimately, what I'm about is seeing people rise up in worship, reclaiming this call on the church and the people of God, that the greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so what we're doing with Gastric Music is we're trying to encourage and train and resource people, churches, to say, hey, get your worship right. Spend time in the presence of Jesus, celebrating who He is, honoring Him, revering Him, discipling and raising up worshipers. And you watch what begins to happen in your communities, in your cities, in your nation. That's on our church. And so I say again, what a privilege for us to be able to play a part in investing and releasing that ministry. We long to see not just the church in Birmingham alive. We long to see the church of Christ all over the world alive and on fire. And not every church, not every local church has that opportunity, that open door to have a wider ministry, but we do. It's a God-ordained open door and we need to run through it and give towards it and serve and pray for it. We've called this month of Vision Foundations. And the reason we've called it Foundations is because we recognize we're in a time of growth and stretch. But we also sense that there are new open doors that are coming our way as a church. And almost in preparation for that, we feel that we need to look at our foundations. We need to focus on our core. And if any of you remember, sort of the first Sunday of January, Rachel got me up to do my 1 minute plank. I've been doing a minute plank every day. I'm up to 1:50 every day. And I'm going for 5 minutes, people. I'm believing for 5 minutes. Can anyone do your 5 minute plank? Oh, of course you can. How long can you do? Okay, that's the dream. That's my life's ambition now, apart from revival, to beat Hannah in a plank competition. So there we go. But the whole point is you've got to strengthen your core. And we want to strengthen our foundations in order to steward and carry the amazing things that God is doing in and through us. So next week, Rachel is going to share particularly about how we're going to do that, some things we're going to introduce, some things we want us to really pay attention to release that. But yeah, but then also want to encourage you that a week on Monday, we're going to be gathering together and we want to encourage everyone for a day of prayer and fasting because we need to see God's kingdom come and we need to be a praying church. And so we're going to be praying and fasting. That might be you want to fast a meal. You might want to fast 24 hours. We'll be contacting you to let you know how we're going to do it. We might gather together online for a moment of prayer. But we want to release the church to pray together on the 11th of March. So clock that out. But today, in the time we have left, I just want to share one thing that I feel is going to be really important for us as a church moving forward if we're going to see this vision become a reality, light for the city and beyond. And we see in 2 Corinthians, Paul, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the church in Corinth. And the church in Corinth are criticizing Paul. They're criticizing his leadership. They're challenging him. They're questioning his authority, his gifting, critiquing his eloquence. Has he got what it takes to be a leader in the church? And so Paul writes in this letter what he considers Christian discipleship and leadership to look like. And so in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, we see this. If you have a Bible, open it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's also going to come up on the screen. Paul writes, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be also revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So Paul shares this vision to the church and he starts by saying, we have this treasure. Got to understand that, people. We have this treasure. What is the treasure? It's the resurrection and the power of Jesus Christ alive within us. It's this gospel narrative of death to life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us, enabling us to do the things that Jesus Christ himself did when he walked on the earth. It's God's freedom and joy and hope and love and life in all its fullness. That is the treasure alive in you, alive in me, and alive in us as a church. And we've been hearing about how this treasure is breaking out all around us. But we've got to recognize that this treasure is carried in jars of clay. This treasure, this gold, is carried in our brokenness and our pain and our ordinariness. In the ancient times, people would store their most valuable precious things in kind of ordinary jars of clay. The idea that if anyone was going to break in and steal something, they'd never steal just a clay cracked pot. That seemed to be the safest place to store the most precious and valuable of things. And Paul is saying, understand this, church. It's It's not about the external, outward appearances. That which is most precious and glorious and eternal is going to be carried in ordinary, normal people. So it doesn't matter if you don't think I'm eloquent enough. That is not the point. The point is this: in my brokenness, I carry the fullness of Jesus Christ by the power of his Holy Spirit. He goes on to say that actually you need to understand this. If we're going to see God's kingdom break out, it's going to come through pain and sacrifice and challenge. Paul's ultimate vision for Christian leadership is this: pain and sacrifice. Because true Christian leadership always involves the cross. Paul summarizes his apostolic ministry and he says these words: we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. I was reading a theologian, Timothy Savage. He says this thing, which actually is very savage. He says, by faith, Paul preaches the gospel, which in turn brings affliction, which then produces in him greater faith, which in turn creates greater boldness of speech, which then provokes additional affliction. For the minister of Christ, the pattern of believing, speaking, suffering is inescapable and perpetual. We often talk here about battles and blessings, these two tracks running through our lives. That at any given moment, there might be this blessing and life and abundance and joy. At the same time, often there's challenge and opposition and setback. And my experience, both personally, but what I'm seeing in our church, is that we're in a season where the blessings are getting sweeter. The breakthroughs and the stories of transformation are getting greater, but the battles are getting fiercer. The challenges are getting harder. I started by sharing some of the amazing stories of what God is doing in our church, but also need to recognize where there have been challenges. The challenge of growth and stretch has caused a strain on our teams at times. We also last year financially, the money coming in, the giving, the funding wasn't keeping up with our expenditure, the money we were spending on mission and church planting, on love your neighbor, on youth, all these things. And so we had to do a really hard thing. We had to have a long, hard conversation about what do we have to cut. And ultimately, we had to also go through the painful reality of redundancies. And certain people within our church lost roles or lost days of work, which was excruciatingly painful. There's no sugarcoating it. It was hard. I know for many here, you're walking through difficult things personally, loss of loved ones. Some of you are struggling with health, sickness concerns. Some of you are battling financially. There's a stress and a strain. Some of you are being unfairly criticized or accused of things. Some of you are struggling with anxiety. It's hard, I know. For me personally, this year has been really painful, challenging, having to face and confront things, difficult things coming against us. And I felt like Paul at times, crushed, perplexed, full of despair. And the danger in these moments of challenge and opposition is we just begin to turn in on ourselves and we try and turn away from everything coming against us. And we try and find comfort in all the wrong places rather than continuing to step out and recognize that it's through the difficulty that God's glory shines through. And I wonder if for many in the church in the West, we've started to write a gospel story for ourselves that isn't quite the full gospel narrative. We talk of the gospel message being one of blessing and favor and abundance, that God loves everything about us and celebrates us and is dying just for me. And of course, that is true. The gospel message is that God so loved the world that the Father in heaven rejoices over you greatly. But the full gospel message is this: that Jesus has called us to lay down our lives and follow him. The gospel story involves a cross. It involves suffering and pain. And we wonder why there is no power in the church in the UK today, because there is no resurrection power without the cross and without death. And so God is calling us to step forward into the fullness of everything that he has for us individually, but for us as a church. But we need to recognize that it's going to cost us. There's going to be pain and challenge. You look at the New Testament, the explosion of the early church, just the most unbelievable, remarkable things. And it all came at the cost of lies being killed, people being opposed, imprisoned, beaten. Study any revival, any move of God today, and you see the same thing. When the people of God rise up, when God breaks in power, it comes at a cost: persecution, ridicule, rejection. That's why C.S. Lewis brilliantly writes, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. I wonder if we've got so caught up with the megaphone being great preaching and great music and impressive things, but what if the megaphone was pain and rejection and embarrassment, struggle? That through that, God really begins to demonstrate his glory and his power and his love to a world that needs to be awakened to the wonder of Jesus. You know, we love here the international community, these guys who have been worshiping in a part of us for a while now. And I was reading this week about the revival in Iran. And you guys will know much, much better than me. But in 1979, the Islamic Revolution erupted over Iran. And as a result, missionaries were forced to leave, evangelism was outlawed, and the church, is small and vulnerable at the time, was oppressed. Much violence outworked against it. Many church leaders were martyred. But what happened, the blood of the martyrs became the seed for the gospel to explode. And from the late 1990s, house churches just began to spring up all over Iran. And in response, the government viciously cracked down on these house churches. Leaders were rounded up and imprisoned. Families were persecuted and abused. Fear was spread. But every time the government tried to crush and squeeze the life out of the church, the word of God and the power of the praying church began to rise up. And in 1979, it was estimated that there were 500 Christians from a Muslim background in Iran. Today, they estimate that there are hundreds of thousands, some say even over a million, worshiping Christians living in Iran today. In fact, Operation World recently named Iran as one of the fastest growing evangelical churches in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we love that here we get a whole bunch of the Iranian church joining us to pray and to worship, but also to pray for our brothers and sisters in Iran who are carrying the fire of Jesus Christ in a place of real danger. And how amazing to see that revival. We long for that in the UK, don't we? Explosion of the church. But what if it comes at such a cost? Are we willing to pay the price? The church in Iran has exploded because people have literally been willing to die for Jesus. What are we willing to sacrifice? We need to recognize what God is doing globally in his church. Problem is, in the West, in the UK particularly, we see all these stats of decline, the rise of secularism, consumerism, church becoming more and more pushed to the margins. And we think, oh gosh, the church is losing its way. The church globally is exploding. There are 2.6 billion Christians living in the world today. 100 years ago, 90% of Christians lived in North America and Europe. Now, 90% of Christians live in the Southern Hemisphere. 400 million Christians alone are living in Africa. The church is exploding. Since the year 2000, population growth has been growing at approximately 1% a year, but the Church of Jesus Christ is growing at 2% a year. So catch this, the church is growing at twice the speed of the global population. Recently heard Rick Warren say this, the church globally is not shrinking, it's just shifting. It's shifting away from the West, and it's in many of these countries where to be a Christian now, you have to face persecution and opposition. But when the people of God step up and step out in the midst of pain and struggle and sacrifice, that is when the treasure and the glory of God and the resurrected power of Jesus Christ is most outworked. Again, hold on to this. In 1,000 years' time, there will be no Apple. There will be no Nike. There will be no Microsoft. There will be no Starbucks. But the Church of Christ will be standing and worshiping and keeping on going. And that is what we're a part of. So let's be encouraged. Let's allow faith to rise up within us. And let's think, God, I want to get involved. I don't want to waste my decades sitting in a seat on the sidelines consuming. I want to give everything to see your kingdom come. I want to end by looking at a few quick things that I feel may be irrelevant for each and every one of us. First thing is this, there are some people here, you're not stepping up and you're not stepping out in your Christian faith because you feel so inadequate. You feel so ordinary. You're insecure, you carry shame, you don't feel you're spiritual enough, you don't feel you're gifted enough, you don't feel you have what it takes, and so you're counting yourself out. You're not sharing your faith with friends, you're not serving on any teams here at the church, you're not really throwing yourself in because you just don't feel up to it. Well, I want to pray that the word of God would grab hold of your heart and mind today and remind you that you are exactly the kind of person Jesus most delights in using. That when you feel weak, his power is made perfect in your weakness. The word of God, the passage we've read this morning, it says that the all-surpassing power of Jesus Christ lives, breathes, flows through you. Some of you bought this lie that if only my friend could hear a preacher at Gas Street preach the gospel or show them a Billy Graham video or whoever your favorite preacher is, if they could hear the gospel presented by them, that will be the thing that will convince them. Can I tell you, I'm convinced that the most powerful gospel message your friend, your family member, your work colleague will ever hear will come out of your mouth. And it might be the most poetic, theological summary of the gospel message, but it will be the power of God outworked in and through your jars of clay. You saying, this is what Jesus has done for me, and this is what I believe he can do for you. Your friend needs to hear that gospel message. They don't need to hear me preach it. They need to hear you live it out, share it. And I'm convinced the power of Jesus Christ will flow in and through you as you do that. Again, we need people to step up and serve different ways in this community. People can think, you know, Gas Street's got everything it needs. It's so well resourced. We're scrambling at times to get teams together. We need people who can invest in our children and young people. We need people who can serve in our worship teams across different locations. We need people who can lead groups. You know, this Sunday for our 9:30 a.m., at one point in the week, we were going to have to close kids' ministries down for the 9:30 because we couldn't get enough volunteers to serve. We were literally like scrambling, begging, pleading someone to come and help do kids for the 9:30. In the end, we had to slightly force our academy students to do it. They were very glad, willing to do it. But we had to beg, please. You know, we have thousands gathering on a Sunday. And we can't get people to invest in our children, future of the church. And there's some of you here, you're not serving because you don't feel you've got what it takes or you don't think that there's a need. Can I just pierce that balloon, that bubble? We desperately need people to serve. But we desperately need you because there's something in you that God will use. to bring a blessing to our church, this community, and to go farther beyond. And also I want to say, for those who serve, we are unbelievably grateful. Every time I see people here serving, it moves me because I see the sacrifice, but we're so grateful. So the first thing, maybe you're not stepping up because you feel inadequate. May the power of Jesus' words grab your heart and mind today. Secondly, some of you here, I wonder, maybe just a few, to recognize where you haven't bought into the full gospel story. If you're honest, you've slightly bought into this narrative that it's all about you. That you come here to church or you listen to your favorite worship music or podcast preachers, and it's all a bit of a fix just to give you a boost for the week, just to help you keep going with what you're doing. And you're not giving, you're not serving, you're not sharing your faith with anyone, you're not praying for God's world, for your friends. It's just about you. And I want to pray that you have a moment of confession, that God's Spirit convicts you to where you've become selfish, where you've reduced the gospel to, it's just about God blessing me, and fail to see where, well, because God has blessed me, how am I going to serve? Because he's poured out his life for me, how would I not want to pour out my life for him and for others? And that maybe there's a moment of reevaluation, and maybe your response is to say, I'm going to begin to serve. I'm going to begin to lead. I'm going to begin to step up. And then finally, I wonder if there are some here today where you're carrying pain, you're carrying disappointment. You stepped out in faith and it didn't go great. You've been hurt by the church. You prayed for years for God to do something and it hasn't happened. You've been opposed, faced opposition. And so what you're doing is you're just pulling back. There's a bit of quiet quitting going on. Slightly pulling your punches, foot's off the gas. I would love to pray for you in a moment. Let me just finish this and I'll definitely pray for you. We'll pray. Give me a second, I'll come and pray for you. That's a great thing to be heckled for. Someone wanted me to pray for them. I'll come and pray for you. Give me a sec. I've got a few more minutes. It's quite good, I think. If I could just finish with a few more minutes, then I'll come. But for some, there's quiet quitting going on. You're stepping back. You're leaning out because you're wounded and you're bruised and you're hurt. I was at a conference a month or so ago, and this lady was speaking. She was talking about playing this hockey match. And she was through on goal. And she was about to shoot to score what she thought was going to be this amazing goal. And her knee gave way, her knee buckled, and she fell to the floor in agony, had to be stretchered off. And it took months and months of recuperation and recovery before she was able to play again. And she said, I remember when I started playing hockey again, I realized I wasn't playing in the way that I used to play. I wasn't tackling quite as hard. I wasn't running quite as fast. I wasn't as committed. Why? Because I was afraid I'd get injured again. And so I was just pulling back a little bit. She went on to say that, I believe there are church leaders here, that's happening to you. Because you've been opposed, because you've faced discouragement, disappointment, setback, you're holding back. And God is wanting to say, come on, step forward, step up. And I knew in that moment that was me. Because of some of the things I've had to face this year, some of the things going on, the disappointments, some of the anxiety I've been battling with, I've slightly held back. I've slightly hid away. I've sometimes thought, God, let me just quietly go by unnoticed. I don't want to put my head above the parapet. And in that moment, I went to the front and I prayed, God, would you come and fill me with your Spirit again? Would you release a fire in me again? Lord Jesus, I recommit my life to you again. That commitment that says, I will lay down my life for you, Jesus Christ, because I believe your word that says when you lay down your life for Jesus, he gives you new, everlasting, eternal life. And I believe for some of you here, you know that you're holding back. You're not giving as generously as you once did. Maybe you're disillusioned with the church, and so you're not giving as radically as you once did. You're not serving like you used to. You're not praying faithfully like you used to. Expectations have dropped. You're not sacrificing. Well, I believe God is wanting to galvanize us this morning. Those watching online, he wants to grab hold of us and propel us forward to be a people who will love wholeheartedly but will sacrifice greatly. And the encouragement is this, from the words of Paul, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out.
If you want to find out more, visit our website, gasstreet.org, or follow us on Instagram @gasstreetchurch.